The House, the Ways and Means Committee will come to order. Rosa, will you please call the roll?
Chair Payne.
Here.
Vice Chair Zika.
Present.
Ranking Member Eskamani.
Here.
Representatives Altman.
Here.
Caruso.
Here.
Casello.
Here.
Clemmons.
Here.
DeSigley.
Here.
Duggan.
Here.
Eskamani.
Here again.
Rico.
Here.
Hart.
Here.
Killebrew.
Yes.
Maggard.
Here.
McLean. Sabatini.
Here.
Schoaf.
Here.
Silvers.
Here.
Schlossberg, excused. A quorum is present, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Rosa. Members, I want to remind everyone to please silence all of your electronic devices. The House is still implementing detailed protocols for COVID. Please wear your mask to the extent as possible at all times. Members, speak into the microphone so that Rosa can accurately record your vote. And I want to remind members of the audience as you approach the podium to wear your mask as well. Members, we have 9 bills in varying orders this morning, depending on traffic control, as there's a lot going on these next few weeks with members presenting bills. So we will start off this morning with, let's go to CS for HB 1587, East Manatee Fire Rescue District, Manatee County, by Representative Gregory. Representative Gregory, you are recognized.
Chair Payne and members of the committee, CS for HB 1587 combines 2 special districts, a dependent fire district in unincorporated Manatee County with an independent district in eastern Manatee County. Both fire districts approve of this, and it will result in decreased fire assessments for most Miaka City residents, and it should provide potential reduction in fire insurance premiums and other benefits for both districts. That is the bill.
Thank you, Representative Gregory, having presented his bill. Members, questions on the bill? Questions on the bill? Seeing no questions, any amendments?
No amendments.
Public testimony on the bill. Yes, we have one. Casey Lewis, East Manatee Fire Rescue District, waving in support. Thank you. No other public testimony. Members, we're in debate. Debate on the bill. Seeing no debate, Representative Gregory, you are recognized to close on the bill.
Wave close.
Having ways closed on this bill, Rosa, will you please call the roll on CS for HB 1587 and announce the vote?
Chair Payne.
Yes.
Vice Chair Zika.
Yes.
Ranking Member Eskamani.
Yes.
Representatives Altman.
Yeah. Yes.
Caruso.
Yes.
Casello.
Yes.
Clemmons.
Yes.
DeSigley.
Yes.
Duggan.
Yes.
Rico.
Yes.
Hart.
Yes.
Killebrew.
Yes.
Maggard.
Yes.
McLean. Sabatini.
Yes.
Schoaf.
Yes.
Silvers.
Yes.
Schlossberg. Yes. 16 yeas, 0 nays.
Thank you, Rosa. Please show the bill reported favorably. Representative Gregory, while you're still at the podium, let's take up HB 1631, Trailer Estate Park and Recreational District, Manatee County. You're recognized.
Thank you, Chair and members. The Trailer Estates Park and Recreation District is an independent special district created by Act. So that's why when we want to update the charter, we have to do it through a local bill. Like the last local bill, it's supported by the delegation. The purpose of this bill is so they can update their charter in a variety of ways outlined in the staff analysis. That is the bill.
Members, questions on the bill? Seeing no questions, amendments to the bill, no amendments, public testimony on the bill, no public testimony. Debate on the bill, as debate on the bill. No debate. There is no amendment, so we are, no debate. We're recognized to close on the bill.
Wave close.
Having waived close, Rosa, will you please call the roll?
Chair Payne.
Yes.
Vice Chair Zika.
Yes.
Ranking Member Eskamani.
Yes.
Representatives Altman.
Yes.
Caruso.
Yes.
Casello.
Yes.
Clemmons.
Yes.
DeSigley.
Yes.
Duggan.
Yes.
Rico.
Yes.
Hart.
Yes.
Killebrew.
Yes.
Maggard.
Yes.
McLean. Sabatini.
Yes.
Schoaf. Schoaf. Silvers.
Yes.
Schlossberg. 15 yeas, 0 nays.
15 yeas, 0 nays. Members, by your vote, show the bill is reported favorably. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Okay, next, let's take up CS for HB 571, ad valorem tax exemption for nonprofit homes for the aged by Representative Smith. You are recognized.
Thank you, Chair and committee members. HB 571 is a classic glitch bill. It's a one-sentence change to Florida statute in order to align with the federal IRS tax code. This bill will help Florida property appraisers ensure that the proper ad valorem tax exemption is given to nonprofits that build affordable housing for seniors. We know these as 55 and over communities. The problem HB 571 seeks to resolve is when a nonprofit owns other nonprofits that build affordable housing. Who takes the ad valorem tax deduction? The IRS nor Florida cares, as long as only one takes the exemption. And this will clarify that in statute. The other nonprofit becomes what's known as a disregarded entity, and I would suspect that Rep. Caruso, as a CPA, might be the only one that understands that term. But adding this one sentence formalizes the position for Florida property appraisers. That's who asked for the bill. There is no opposition. That is the bill, Mr. Chair.
Thank you for that explanation. Questions on the bill? Members, questions on the bill? Seeing no questions. Amendments? Seeing no amendments. Public testimony on the bill. Mr. Jeff Sharkey, Wendover Housing Partners, LLC, wishes to appear. Waive in support. Waiving in support. Thank you, sir. Good to see you. No other public testimony. Debate on the bill, members. Seeing no debate, Representative Smith, you're recognized to close on your glitch bill.
Waive closed, Chair.
Having waived closed, Rosa, will you please call the roll on CS for HB 579 or 571, excuse me, and announce the vote.
Chair Payne.
Yes.
Vice Chair Zika.
Yes.
Ranking Member Escamani.
Yes.
Representatives Altman.
Yes.
Caruso.
Yes.
Casello.
Yes.
Clemens.
Yes.
Clemens.
Yes.
DeSigley.
Yes.
Duggan.
Yes.
Grieco.
Yes.
Hart.
Yes.
Killebrew.
Yes.
Maggart.
Yes.
McLean. Sabatini.
Yes.
Schoaf.
Yes.
Silvers.
Yes.
Schlossberg. Sixteen yeas, zero nays.
Members, by your vote, please show the bill is reported favorably. Congratulations.
Thank you, Chair.
Okay, keeping with our traffic control flight here, next let's take up CSHB 889, Nonprofit Property Tax Exemption by Representative Barrero. You are recognized.
Good morning, members, and thank you, Chair. Thank you for the opportunity to present CS for HB 889, Nonprofit Property Tax Exemptions. So current Florida law, it states that any portion of real property that's used for charitable nonprofit purposes may be exempt from property tax assessments. So this bill, it affirms existing state law that nonprofit organizations will not lose their entire property tax exemption simply because they operate a private vendor on their property. That is the bill, Mr. Chair.
Members, Representative Barrera, haven't explained his bill. Are there questions on the bill? Seeing, yes, Representative Caruso.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Real quickly, they would, if they had a for-profit operation, they would only lose part of their property tax exemption. Is that correct?
You're recognized.
Yes, Representative, that is correct. So current law, it allows for Property Appraisers Association to tax the portions of the property that is used for profit purposes, but not the portions of the property that are used non-for-profit purposes. So this bill affirms that precedent.
Good. Other questions? Seeing no other questions, there is an amendment to the bill. You're recognized to explain your amendment.
Mr. Chair, amendment number 323527. It just cleans up the language of the bill, which one of the Property Appraisers Association had a concern with, and it makes the bill consistent with the purpose of the bill, which is to affirm that non-for-profit organizations will not lose their entire a property exempt status just because there's a for-profit entity on there, such as a gift shop, a vendor, et cetera, et cetera.
Okay. Thank you. Members, are there questions on the amendment? Questions on the amendment? Seeing none, public testimony on the amendment. We have no public testimony. Debate on the amendment. Members, debate on the amendment. Seeing none, Representative Barrera, you're recognized to close on your amendment.
Just bring it all in, Mr. Chair. So this bill, it just makes sure that the 95,000 non-for-profit organizations which are in our state, so we're talking your schools, your foundations, your safe havens, your food banks, your churches, all these non-for-profit organizations will not begin to be burdened by novel property taxes, which they weren't before, simply again because they have a third-party vendor on their property. All of the services that they provide to our community are essential, and we shouldn't be overly burdening them with new property tax assessments. With that, I close.
Members, without objection, so the amendment is adopted. So we're back on public testimony on the bill as amended. A couple of appearance cards. Jerry Paul from Shelby Botanical Gardens. Waving in support. Thank you, Jerry. And Greg Black, Florida Association of Museums, Inc., and Florida Nonprofit Alliance. He is waving in support. Thank you both. We're on, members, we're back on debate on the bill as amended. Debate on the bill as amended. Yes, Representative Escamani, you're recognized.
Thanks so much, Chair. I just want to thank the representative for this bill, especially knowing that for so many of our arts and culture community members, they're struggling throughout the pandemic, and to be able to have an accurate assessment of what is nonprofit versus the existence of a gift store for a nonprofit organization, I think that's an important balance to strike. Just want to say thank you.
Members, other debate on the amended bill? Seeing none, Representative Barrera, you recognize to close on your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So this bill is supported by the two associations representing property appraisers, which represent all 67 counties in our state. And again, it just makes sure that nonprofit organizations will not begin to be burdened by new property tax assessments. With that, I close.
Representative Barrera, having closed on his amended bill, Rosa, will you please call the roll on CS for HB 889 and announce the vote?
Chair Payne?
Yes.
Vice Chair Zika?
Yes.
Ranking Member Escamani?
Yes.
Representatives Altman?
Yes.
Caruso?
Yes.
Casello?
Yes.
Clemens?
Yes.
DeSigley?
Yes.
Duggan?
Yes.
Grieco?
Yes.
Hart?
Yes.
Killebrew?
Yes.
Maggard?
Yes.
McLean?
Yes.
Sabatini?
Yes.
Schoaf?
Yes.
Silvers?
Yes.
Schlossberg? 17 yeas, 0 nays.
17 yeas, 0 nays. Members, by your vote, show the bill is reported favorably. Congratulations.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you very much, members.
Okay, we're going to move on to... Yeah, let's go to CS for HB 387, Improvements to Real Property by Representative Fine. Representative Fine, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, members. PACE is a financing program that is used to finance certain types of energy efficiency and resiliency projects. This is a very simple bill that will simply add a whole suite of consumer protections to the program as it exists today that will address certain concerns that people have had with the program. It does not expand the scope of the program. It changes nothing to the program, again, other than creating these consumer protections and requiring disclosures by local government for whether and how they take advantage of the program, and that is the bill.
Representative Fine, having explained the bill, is there questions on the bill? Members, questions on the bill? Representative Caruso, you recognized.
Thank you, Chair. Representative, it allows property owners to cancel a financing agreement within 3 days of execution. Is that business days, calendar days?
You're recognized.
Thank you. I actually don't remember that from the exactly. It is 3 days. I don't recall if it's calendar days or business days. I can take a look. Do you have a preference as we continue to work through the bill?
I'd love it to be business days.
Okay,
that way
I'll take
we don't
a look.
Get caught up on
yeah,
holidays.
I just don't remember that detail.
Thank you.
Okay. Other questions on the bill? Representative Escamani, you're recognized.
Thank you so much. And is there a strike call that we will also be discussing?
You're recognized.
Point of order.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Great question. There is an amendment that will be withdrawn.
Oh, okay. Then I have some more questions, Chair.
Pardon me?
I have additional questions, if that's okay.
You're recognized.
Thank you so much. I just wanted to clarify on that. Thanks, Chair Fine. So I understand your description of the bill. You said that it doesn't add any other options for the PACE program. My understanding is, at least until this point, some of the efforts were to expand PACE to include water projects, septic to sewer, and some other water improvements. Could you just expand upon if that's been omitted from the bill now, and you know, will it be added back?
Rep. Fine, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The bill as presented today is the same bill that was presented in the first and the second committees.
Chair, if I have a follow-up.
Follow-up.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Chair. I'm opening back up the original bill because I had the amendment open. But I do believe that there was an addition into the bill for, it was around language of qualifying local program when it came to other options that folks could use PACE for. And I wasn't sure what that interpretation meant, if there were projects that local governments could establish to be available to PACE. And I wanted your clarity on that.
You're recognized.
Sure. That, what you're asking about, is not in the bill that we're discussing today.
Okay. One more question, Chair.
One more question.
Thank you so much. Some of the additional protections that have been added into the bill for PACE, are there enforcements of those protections?
You're recognized.
There are many protections. There are various levels of enforcement. And I would throw out that as the bill continues to move through the process, we have reached out to stakeholders and say, if you have additional ideas for additional improvements, we are open to them. And we were sort of getting there on the amendment that we were going to introduce today. There were some additional protections that we had discussed with other stakeholders, but it's just not ready for prime time. It may never be ready for prime time, but we are open to additional ideas. The idea of the bill is to provide more consumer protections than exist today.
Any other questions on the bill? Okay, let's address the amendment.
Mr. Chairman, I withdraw the amendment.
The amendment withdrawn. Okay, let's move on to public testimony on the bill. We have public testimony from numerous people. Slater Bayless, Y Green Energy Fund Florida LLC, wants to testify. You're recognized, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good morning. Good morning, members. For the record, my name is Slater Bayless, and I appear before you today on behalf of Y Green Energy Fund. Mr. Chairman, on a personal note, I'd like to thank you for your open door as it relates to this legislation as we work through it, and your personal involvement of time and energy. Also, certainly like to thank Representative Fine for the time and energy he's invested in this legislation. And obviously, I think this whole conversation started with the bill Representative Zika filed last year. So thank you all for the investment of time and energy in this topic. Members, several of you have seen this legislation in previous committees, and it's, I think, moved as a vessel for modernization and, as Representative Fine said, consumer protections for a program that's existed and served numerous Floridians over the past decade to finance hurricane hardening and energy efficiency upgrades in their homes. The amendment that Representative Escamani mentioned and was withdrawn was filed as a result of numerous stakeholder conversations and meetings, and something that I think many people associated with the bill feels like has the ability to pass off the House floor with bipartisan support. Specifically wanted to thank former State Senator Mike Fasano down in Pasco County for his collaborative approach to working with stakeholders to ensure that we can come up with language that protects consumers but at the same time allows them to make choices that they believe are best for themselves. So again, unfortunately, like most compromised products working under these stiff legislative deadlines, the amendment needs a little more work. And along with all of you and Chairman Payne and Representative Fine and others, we look forward to working with you to figure out something that that strengthens consumer protections, that modernizes this program, and hopefully that allows for counties who believe they need help with their septic issues to request of the Department of Transportation to opt into PACE financing for those improvements. So at any rate, our client believes that a happy and well-informed customer is the best kind. And although we don't believe that House Bill 387, as it's currently written, accomplishes that, we know that this is a work in progress, and we look forward again to working with stakeholders to figure out something that this whole body can be very proud of. And I'm grateful for your time, members, and certainly encourage you to vote yes to move this vessel along.
Thank you, Mr. Bayless. Questions for Mr. Bayless? Anyone? Okay. Next up, appearance card would be from Anthony DeMarco, Florida Bankers Association. Wish to appear? Okay, all right. Thank you. Prather McKinnon, 60 plus. And he wished to appear, but he is not here. He is a proponent. Mateo Hadar from Florida State Hispanic Chamber of Commerce wishes to appear in person. Don't see him. He is a proponent. Jerry Paul, PACE Funding Agency. Wave in support. Thank you. Carrie Hebrink, National Utility Contractors Association of Florida. She is waving in support. And Jess McCarty, Miami-Dade County, waves in support. Okay, that's it for public testimony. Members, we are at the point of debate on the bill. Any debate on the bill? Representative Escamani.
Thank you so much, Chair. I just want to thank Chair Fine for working so closely with so many stakeholders. I was looking forward to learning more about the amendment. So I hope that that compromise is met and it comes to the House floor. We haven't really talked about the PACE program in this committee as much, but there has been a lot of stories about the PACE program and just some of the concerns around folks not knowing what they're signing up for. And so I do think the protections are really, really important. I don't think for me, the bill is there yet. I'm gonna vote down it today just because I still have a lot of concerns about consumer protections with any type of PACE-related bill, and I was looking forward to seeing the amendment, but have been in conversations with stakeholders like Mike Fasano as well, who's been a leader on this for years. And so for now, I'll be down the bill, but I hope as it moves forward, I'll be able to change that vote. Thank you so much, Chair Fine, and thank you to Chair Payne as well.
Other debate, Representative Caruso, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Representative, for bringing the bill forward. You know, it's a good bill. It protects homeowners. I think there's more we can do. I'd like to see septic to sewer conversions added to the PACE program. I think that's, you know, we're in a time where we're trying to clean our water and all that. This encourages it and provides a venue for people to pay for it. Going forward, I'd hope you can, expand it to include that. Thank you. I'll be up on the bill.
Other debate on the bill, members? Okay, I just want to say, Representative Fine, thank you for working the bill, as you always do, and thank you for consideration for all the members' issues. So thank you for that. And so with that, Representative Fine, you're recognized to close on your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Briefly, I was able to look. I have budget on the brain. We're doing the budget over there, and I've been looking at numbers too often. The bill is 3 business days, to address your question. I was able to look it up while I was sitting down. Look, there's a lot of people who would like to do a lot of things. The original version of the bill that I filed did include septic to sewer. It's something that I would like, but this is a process where there's a lot of stakeholders, and I always tell people half a loaf is better than no loaf. Make no mistake today, a vote on this bill, a vote for this bill, is a vote to protect consumers from some of the issues that they have had with this program. A vote against this bill says that you do not believe in increasing consumer protections as it relates to the PACE program. With that, I ask for your favorable support.
Representative Fine, having closed on this bill, Rosa, will you please call the roll and see us for HB 387 and announce the vote?
Chair Payne?
Yes.
Vice Chair Zika?
No.
Ranking Member Escamani?
No.
Representatives Altman?
Yes.
Caruso?
Yes.
Casello?
Yes.
Clemens?
Yes.
Bisigli?
Yes.
Duggan?
Yes.
Grieco?
Yes.
Hart?
Yes.
Killebrew?
Yes.
Maggart?
Yes.
McLean?
Yes.
Sabatini?
Yes.
Schoaf?
Yes.
Silvers?
Yes.
Flossberg? Fifteen yeas, two nays.
Members, by your vote, show the bill is reported favorably. Thank you, Representative Fine. Congratulations.
Thank you, Chairman. Thank you, members.
Okay, members, now we will take up HB 965, Housing Finance Corporation, by Representative Roth. Representative Roth, you are recognized.
Thank you, Chair, for your leadership and for allowing me to present this bill. And I appreciate your leadership last night as we unveiled the return of the Panther. Thank you, Vice Chair Sika and Democratic Ranking Member. I did contact all of you. This bill, 965, deals with the Florida Housing Finance Corporation. The corporation is a public corporation created by the legislature to assist in providing a range of affordable housing opportunities for Florida residents. This bill would eliminate the requirement to go before the cabinet as the state board of administration for their private activity bonds, because the bonds are not considered state debt and do not impact the state's credit rating. The SBA review is ministerial and antiquated. It provides no meaningful benefit or substantial protection to the state of Florida. Currently, Florida Housing Finance Corporation has a third-party bond structuring agent who prepares a sufficiency report and submits it to the SBA, and this is a duplicative and unnecessary step. The SBA is similar to Space Florida's financing bill, which was passed HB 717 in 2019, signed into law in 19, which allows Space Florida to validate its bond and remove the requirement for the governor and cabinet to approve its issuance. Chair, that is the bill.
Representative Roth having presented his bill, members, do we have questions on the bill? Seeing no questions, amendments? No amendments. Public testimony on the bill. Trey Price, Florida Housing Finance Corporation, wishes to appear in response to an inquiry of information. Mr. Price, you're recognized. Thank you for being here.
Thank you, Chairman Payne. Thank you, members. Thank you, Representative Roth, for sponsoring the bill. We support this bill. It's come to our attention that, this is necessary. We would like to see this move forward because we've seen a number of our multifamily bond deals come into trouble with being able to close and move forward because of SBA approval that's needed. It is an antiquated act that requires this, and appreciate your support to pass this bill to allow us to move ahead with affordable housing in an expedited manner. And I'll be happy to take
any questions
you all have.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate you being here. Stephanie Sutton, Florida Housing Finance Corporation, Director of External Affairs, and she wishes to appear. Is she here? Waving support. Thank you. Thank you for being here. Caitlin Norman, Florida Housing Finance Corporation, wishes to appear. Waving support. Thank you. Mr. Jeff Sharkey, Wendover Housing Partners, LLC, waves in support. Thank you. Larry Williams, Coalition of Affordable Housing Providers, wave in support. And Brett Heeshan, I don't know if I butchered that name or not, Richmond Group of Florida, Inc., waves in support. Okay, that is all the public testimony. Members, debate on the bill? Seeing no debate, Representative Roth, you're recognized to close on your bill.
Again, I'm proud to be the sponsor of this bill for the Florida Housing Finance Corporation. This is a good, common sense, practical way to eliminate government red tape. And with that, I close.
Representative Roth, having closed on this bill, Rosa, will you please call the roll on HB 965 and announce the vote?
Chair Payne?
Yes.
Vice Chair Zika?
Yes.
Ranking Member Escomani?
Yes.
Representatives Altman?
Yes.
Caruso?
Yes.
Casello?
Yes.
Clemens?
Yes.
DeSigley?
Yes.
Duggan?
Yes.
Grieco?
Yes.
Hart?
Yes.
Killebrew?
Yes.
Maggart?
Yes.
McLean?
Yes.
Sabatini?
Yes.
Schoaf?
Yes.
Silvers?
Yes.
Schlossberg? 17 yeas, 0 nays.
17 yeas, 0 nays. By your vote, members, please show the bill is reported favorably. Congratulations, Representative Roth.
Thank you, Chair.
Okay, I'm looking for one more member to show up, but he's not here, so we'll move to, let's see, HB 1519, Homestead Exemptions by Representative Duggan. You're recognized. You wouldn't present it to, okay, you're recognized.
Thank you, Chairman, I appreciate it. Members, this bill classifies certain transfers of title related to joint tenants with rights of survivorship as transfers that do not constitute a change of ownership for purposes of claiming a homestead exemption And then the bill also gives our property appraisers greater discretion and flexibility to adjudicate disputed claims of homestead exemption related to out-of-state properties. That is the bill.
Representative Dugan having explained his bill. Members, are there questions on the bill? Seeing no questions, amendments to the bill. Seeing no amendments, public testimony on the bill. No public testimony. Debate on the bill. And I'm intentionally slowing down because we're looking for another member to show up. No debate on the bill. Representative Dugan, you're recognized to close on your bill.
I wave close.
Having waved close, Rosa, will you please call the roll on 1519 and announce the vote?
Chair Payne?
Yes.
Vice Chair Zika?
Yes.
Ranking Member Escamani?
Yes.
Representatives Altman?
Yes.
Caruso?
Yes.
Casello?
Yes.
Clemens?
Yes.
Bisigli?
Yes.
Duggan?
Yes.
Grieco?
Yes.
Hart?
Yes.
Hillebrew?
Yes.
Maggart?
Yes.
McLean?
Yes.
Sabatini?
Yes.
Schoaf?
Yes.
Silvers?
Yes.
Schlossberg? 17 yeas, 0 nays.
17 yeas, 0 nays. Rosa, or excuse me, members, by your vote, please show House Bill 1519 reported favorably. Congratulations. And let's see, we will go to CS for HB 337, impact fees by Representative DeSigley. And I think you want to present at the podium. Yes, sir. Great. And I've texted our other member. He'll hopefully show up soon. Representative DeSigley, you're recognized to present your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good morning, members. Give me a moment to get my stuff organized here.
Take all the time you need.
Okay, good morning, members. This morning, I here to propose to you House Bill 337, Impact Fees. The bill defines infrastructure and public facilities and clarifies statutory text in relation to impact fees. The bill lays out a glide path for the increase of impact fees. If the increase is not more than 25% above the current rate, the increase must be implemented in two equal annual increments. If a fee is increased between 25 and 50% above the current rate, the phase-in is four equal installments. No impact fee increase may exceed 50%, and an impact fee may not be increased more than once every 4 years. However, the bill does provide an exemption to this requirement if a local government, special district, and school district establishes a need for the increase pursuant to the rational nexus test. The bill requires special districts to credit against the collection of impact fees any contribution related to public facilities. And finally, members, the bill requires local government to attest that all impact fees were collected and expended in full compliance with the statute. Mr. Chairman, that is the bill.
Representative DeSigley, having explained his bill, members, are there questions on the bill? Representative Escamani, you're recognized.
Thank you so much, Chair. I will do my best to keep questions to the bill because I know there's an amendment as well. But just real quick, some of the concerns that I have from my school district specifically, Representative DeSigley, is around being unable to spend funds on school technologies, like the improvement of computers and things like that. So I'm curious, just based on the language in the bill, what is your interpretation on what money can be spent on in the education realm? Thank you, Chair.
You're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, Ranking Member, for that question. So basically, we're defining infrastructure. And so when it comes to education, we could talk about facilities. I know it's not in this bill, but in the Senate, for example, Senator Gruters is adding school buses to that definition of infrastructure. I think the problem, what's been happening is that, it seems like every year I come back and try to redefine the word infrastructure when it comes to impact fees. And what happens is that definition becomes broader and broader over time. And so, 1 year we'll be talking about computers, one year we'll be talking about, pencils and school uniforms, et cetera. And I think what we have to remember, the impact fee here is to make sure that the infrastructure around development is basically paid for through these impact fees. And so I think, we just have to draw the line somewhere.
so that these impact fees are spent responsibly and that they're consistent with the rational nexus that's currently in Florida statute.
Follow up.
Thank you so much. Thanks for that, Rep. And I understand the intent and have a lot of respect for it. Is there a concern, though, that when we see communities grow and the need for more computers in a school setting, I mean, so many classrooms have laptops that kids bring home with them. Why can't that be considered in the current definition, or is it considered under infrastructure? It sounds like we're trying to narrow the definition, so I'm just concerned that if we narrow it, we create a scenario where some of our school districts cannot even sustain the growth that developers are taking leadership on.
Did you get that as a question? Okay, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So I will say this, ranking member. You know, when development occurs, folks move into a community. Folks move into a community that's an increase in overall tax revenue. And in that tax revenue, you know, of course, there's that line item for school districts. And so it's my view that the school districts have a responsibility to run those districts in a fiscally conservative way so that they can pay for, you know, things like computers. They can pay for things like school supplies. They can pay for things like air conditioning. And so I think when we're talking about impact fees, I think it is appropriate to narrow the definition for infrastructure, because ultimately that's exactly what we're talking about here, infrastructure.
Chair, one more question.
One more question.
Thanks so much, Chair. Outside of my district in the west side of Orange County, we've seen huge development growth. And actually the school district has not been able to keep up, where these new schools now are flooded with portables just to keep up with the growth of the development happening around them. So part of that also includes furniture costs. Is the way the bill is defined now, is it omitting also just the expense to pay for furniture?
You're recognized.
I think that's also consistent with your point with computers. You know, we can debate whether or not infrastructure or furniture is included in infrastructure. Is that an infrastructure? I think that's a valid question, you know, as we debate this bill. But no, I believe that, you know, again, furniture or computers or school supplies, you know, in this bill certainly it's not part of the definition of infrastructure, and ultimately that's what we're discussing here.
Members, other questions on the bill? Seeing no other questions on the bill, I believe there's an amendment on the bill. You're recognized to explain the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So the amendment addresses vehicle concerns for first responders. We're adding things like fire trucks, you know, police cars. That was a concern that, you know, you could have made the argument that is already in Florida statute and the definition of infrastructure. We wanted to clarify that. Secondly, the amendment ensures that any dedication, construction, or improvement provided would only offset related impact fees. So, for example, parkland dedication offsetting park impact fees. So, if there's a dedication for a park from the developer, then that would trigger impact fee credits. You can't take impact fee credits for a park and apply it to transportation, for example. So, we want to make sure that we're comparing apples to apples, oranges to oranges. And finally, Mr. Chairman, the amendment better defines the role of the chief financial officer in producing financial statements. A CFO cannot provide absolute assurance, but rather assurance based on applying standard accounting procedures. The edits in this amendment are in line with the proper role of the CFO. Mr. Chairman, that is the amendment.
Thank you, Representative Sigley. There is an amendment to the amendment. Members, we passed out a yellow sheet for you to see the amendment to the amendment. I believe it's technical in nature. Would you explain the amendment to the amendment?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. It is technical in nature. I believe there was a typo. So this amendment to the amendment addresses that.
Okay, let's get through that. Members, questions on the amendment to the amendment? No questions on the amendment to the amendment. Public testimony on the amendment to the amendment? Seeing none. Debate on the amendment to the amendment? Seeing none. Representative Sigley, you're recognized to close on the amendment to the amendment.
We've closed, Mr. Chairman.
Without objection, show the amendment to the amendment is adopted. We are back on questions on the amendment. Questions on the original amendment. Representative Escamani, you're recognized.
Thank you so much, Chair. The amendment, and perhaps also the underlying bill, is it retroactive, Representative DeCiglio? My interpretation that it might be, but I wasn't sure. But does it go back to January 1st when it becomes law? Could you just clarify that for me?
You recognize.
Yeah, so the bill itself, and I know you're asking about the amendment, but the bill itself is retroactive. So yes, that has not changed in the amendment.
Any other questions on the amendment, members? No other questions on the amendment. Is there public testimony on the amendment? Yes, we have public testimony. You're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. I am Bob McKee, the Deputy Director of Public Policy for the Florida Association of Counties. We want to thank Representative DeCiglio for the inclusion of important public safety infrastructure in the amendment and for revising the language for impact fee credits to make sure credits are not required where impact fees are not imposed for the type of public facility contributed. We still have some concerns with the credit language with respect to transportation facilities, as the language appears to require credits for contributions to public facilities such as surface streets, including cul-de-sacs, that are not the types of public facilities for which impact fees are charged. However, we see this language as significant improvement from the current language and look forward to continue to working on the issue. Unfortunately, as the amendment has the cap language in it, we cannot support the amendment today. Florida's counties are not seeking to revise the authority by which impact fees are imposed or increased under the dual rational nexus test. We have always been comfortable with a home rule-based authority provided under that test. We again want to thank the sponsor for the significant improvements to his bill, and we'll continue working toward a solution that benefits all Floridians.
Thank you, Mr. McKee. If you'll just turn in your appearance card, we'd appreciate it. Other public testimony on the amendment? Seeing none, members debate on the amendment. Seeing no debate on the amendment, Representative DeCiglio, you're recognized to close on your amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Very briefly, this amendment is really intended to show that we have brought all stakeholders to the table and will continue to do so. I close.
Members, without objection, so the amendment is adopted. We're back to public testimony on the bill as amended. Okay, several cards. Ricardo Paredes, he is a proponent and wishes to appear. Waiving support. Did I get that name even close? Paredes, all right, thank you. I'm sorry. Louis Rotundo, City of Altamont Springs, opponent wishes to appear. Mr. Rotundo, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I want to take the opportunity to thank Representative DeCiglio for what is the latest in his multi-year efforts to fix what is indeed a very serious problem in Florida. It's a problem caused by a very few local governments who are not following the existing law and updating their fees in a timely fashion. The result, as you've heard here in this discussion, is that large fee increases have occurred, which kind of makes a hash out of trying any sort of planning for what should be built and how much money should be collected. We're not talking about 25 or 50%, which you've just heard mentioned. We're talking about 100 to 300% increases in 1 year. This bill has greatly improved since it was first introduced. But with respect, I'm going to have to say that it doesn't really address the real issue that's before you. And members, I hope you were listening very carefully to the debate that was occurring from the Association of Counties and from the sponsor of the bill. The real issue is, for 3 or 4 years now, we've attempted to tweak this statute to the left, to the right, up, down, sideways, and we still can't seem to get it right. If the issue we're trying to address is the long time delay that's occurring between updates of impact fees, I would suggest to you that one simple sentence can fix that problem. If the problem is the large sudden increases in cost that are occurring, I would have to hold out to you that you can still do that under this existing bill. Unfortunately, it doesn't generate a fix to the problem. And last and not least, and I apologize to you, Mr. Chairman, because this is probably the third or fourth year you've had to hear this subject, but we still don't have in definition, in statute, what is a mobility plan, what is a mobility fee, and yet the Florida statute says that a mobility fee and an impact fee are the same thing. I would hold out to you, they are not. And there would be no way under this bill to measure whether or not the increase meets the change in the law or not. Having said all that, let me conclude by saying I would suggest to you that a plan-based system with measurable standards and a technical report is a better way to proceed. To require it to be updated every 5 years with a penalty if it's not, and to require the plan to declare specifically how the dollars collected will be spent and in what time frame. There are some people that think we're creating a bank here and you just give the money and someday, somehow, some way, an improvement will be made somewhere. That's not an equitable system for anybody. What I'm suggesting is before the next committee, perhaps we could have a holistic approach. Stop this continual tweaking of the statute on growth management that results in uncertainty on both sides, the local government and the developers. Neither one knows what we're going to do next year or even what we did this year, and it makes it very hard to proceed. And with that, I thank you for the time, and I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Rotundo. Questions? Yes, sir. Representative Duggan.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Rotundo. Do you not provide the consulting services to local governments on exactly the kind of plan-based approach that you are advocating here today?
You're recognized.
If you're talking about mobility fees, or some of them, I do. Some of them have attempted to adopt on their own, and I can't speak knowledgeably about what all of them have done.
Other questions for Mr. Rotundo? Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. Dane Bennett, Florida Home Builders Association, is a proponent, wishes to appear. Mr. Bennett, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Dane Bennett with the Florida Home Builders Association. Just wanted to go over a couple of the definition of public facility real quick. Sometimes we talk so often about what is not included in this bill. Just wanted to list off real quick. This bill includes transportation in the public facilities. It includes sanitary sewer. It includes solid waste. It includes drainage, potable water, education, all of the brick and mortar involved in building a public education facility to its full structure. It includes parks and recreation. It includes fire, special fire and rescue. It includes police, sheriffs, and emergency medical. Last week, the counties had issues with emergency vehicles. This week, the representative stood forth the committee and offered an amendment to make sure that all first responder transportation was included in the bill. The Florida Home Builders Association would just like to remind the committee that all of these costs are go directly to the cost of a new home. This is without a doubt an affordable housing bill. Ranking Member Escamani, you had some great feedback, and I think the representative provided some detailed response that at the end of the day, a line has to be drawn somewhere. So when we talk about infrastructure and we talk about public facilities, we have to be cognizant that these costs go towards the home. Last Tuesday night, in response to this bill, Orange County added another $8,000 to the transportation impact fee alone. We're talking about a 1,500 square foot home in Orange County, and that is just one of the fees provided today. We have counties across the state that have impact fees in excess of $30,000. The time you factor in the cost of land, inspection, permitting fees, our builders are in excess of $100,000 before a shovel even goes in the ground. So without a doubt, defining infrastructure and public facilities, it is complicated. We certainly trust the legislature to move forward with coming to a good resolution, but we have to always be cognizant that these costs are passed on to consumers. And right now in affordable housing crisis, we need to make sure that monies are going towards true infrastructure cost. Mr. Chairman, thank you for your time. Representative DeSigley, thank you for your time, and FHBA supports the bill.
Thank you. Mr. Bennett, questions?
Chair, can I ask
Bennett,
a question, please?
Questions for yes. Representative Escamani, recognizing questions.
Thank you so much. Thanks so much for being here. So you mentioned affordable housing. My understanding is that some counties have waivers for affordable housing projects. Is that accurate?
You're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative Escamani, absolutely it is. Unfortunately, we rarely see them taken advantage of. We rarely see cities and counties put that type of skin into the game.
Follow-up, Chair.
Follow-up.
Thank you so much. If any artificial cap on impact fees, do we know if those savings get passed down to the home buyer, or is it just profit that the builders take up and invest in other projects in the future? But
Correct.
Is that passed down to consumers when we give y'all any type of artificial caps on impact fees?
You're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative Escamani, that is a great question. And absolutely it is, because impact fee costs are directly passed down to consumers. For example, last May, Hillsborough County increased their impact fees by 100%. 80% of that increase was implemented within 7 months. Those costs directly passed down to consumers. Had Hillsborough County not implemented 80% of that impact fee increase within 7 months, those costs wouldn't have been passed down to consumers. So when we talk about the cap, it's not even so much, this bill doesn't even address preventing them from getting to where they want to be in the long term. What it really addresses is the predictability in the marketplace. As you know, developments and new homes are often built out months, if not years in advance. But if you arbitrarily put a 7 month time frame on a 80% increase, effectively making impact fees go from $14,000 to nearly $26,000 in a 7 month period, of course, those costs will be passed on to consumers.
Quick follow-ups, Chair, if I can.
Follow-up.
Thank you so much. When it comes to impact fees being passed down to consumers, how does this fit into a free market? For example, if you are having to meet these new costs and now you want an artificial cap, was that against the free market of you know, home sale costs just around the surrounding areas?
You're recognized.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. Representative Escamani, I'm sorry, can you repeat that one more time?
You're recognized.
There's been artificial caps in the past, and so okay. Some of these increases are because artificial caps have come to an end. And so folks are trying to, you know, pay for the cost of development impact in our communities.
Representative Escamani, will you please just ask the question and not explain your position, please? Thank you.
Sure, Chair. I'm just trying to explain the context of the question. So when you have an artificial cap, is that against the free market in allowing these costs to exist as the cost that you are charging in addition to what a county needs to pay for the infrastructure increases?
You're recognized.
Representative Escamani, I understand, and I apologize. Sorry about that. Absolutely not. It's not against the free market. In fact, exorbitant impact fees and exactions on new homes that are put on the backs of new consumers in an affordable housing crisis, without a doubt, that would be against the free market. I'll just note that, you know, when we talk about these impact fees and we talk about these exorbitant increases, without a doubt, you know, they are passed on to consumers. So I guess when you're talking about the bill and you're talking about arbitrary caps, this bill just inhibits predictability in the marketplace. It requires that these large increases are phased in over time. There's nothing in this bill that's going to prohibit a city or a county from getting to where they want to be eventually. But when we see 100%, 150%, 300% impact fee increases in the span of a year or 2 years, I mean, to the marketplace, that absolutely disturbs the free market. So I would counter that point with, we need predictability. And Representative DeSigley has been so gracious to both sides in making sure that we have something that's responsible in moving impact fees forward.
Thank you for that. Chair, one more question.
Yes, please.
Thank you so much. You mentioned education as areas that were included. Would you be amenable to making sure that furniture costs, technology costs are also included into that bill? Because that is some of the biggest concerns we're hearing from our school districts who know they're operating under tight budgets.
You're recognized.
Well, but with the floor, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Would the Florida Home Builders Association be open to that? Was that the question?
You're recognized for the question.
Yes.
Yes. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think without a doubt, you know, Representative DeSigley is without a doubt the lead on this bill. I think he answered the question by saying, you know, if we're going to fund new homes, new construction only, correct? If new construction is going to fund all of the brick and mortar facilities, all of the public facilities for new student station growth. At some point, property taxes are also there to provide couches, chairs, computers. There is new student station growth into school districts without new homes. FHBA simply believes that new homes shouldn't be the bare burden of splitting all of the cost of new growth, because all that does is exacerbate the affordable housing crisis that we see across the state.
Great. Thank you for those answers.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Let's move on to additional public testimony. David Cruz, Florida League of Cities, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. David Cruz with the Florida League of Cities. I think a lot's been said this morning, so I will try to keep my comments brief.
Thank you.
I want to thank the sponsor for some of the changes that were made in committee today, and for listening to some of our concerns on this issue. I just wanted to give one big piece of background when we're talking about impact fee increases that I think has not been brought up in conversation this morning that is very important to this conversation. And it is that local governments during the real estate bubble did not raise impact fees. They lowered impact fees. They didn't touch impact fees. And so what we ran into is a scenario for the last 10 plus years, local governments have not been raising impact fees because they were waiting for the real estate market to recover. And despite the pandemic, I think the real estate market has fully recovered to pre-2006 levels. And so now you're in a scenario where there is a lot of new development going on in Florida, and local governments are now getting back to addressing impact fees. And so, yes, impact fees should be revisited on a more often, more frequent basis. I think the real estate bubble that happened in 2007, 2008 is part of this puzzle. I think it's an unusual circumstances that we're running into with these large impact fee increases, but the background on that is that impact fees were not raised for 10, for 15, for in some cases even 20 years, and there was nobody complaining to local governments that impact fees were not being raised during that time period. And so that is an important piece of this conversation as we continue to move forward, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Cruz.
Thank you.
Next we have Carrie Hebrink, National Utility Contractors Association of Florida, as a proponent and wishes to speak. Ms. Hebrink, you're recognized.
Good morning. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Carrie Hebrink with the National Utility Contractors Association, also the Florida Home Builders Association. I just want to make a couple of quick points. And the first one is, on the definition of infrastructure, it's important to note that right now, if you don't pass this bill, there is no definition for infrastructure with respect to impact fees. That's what we're trying to do. We believe it should be the capital facilities, things that have a lifespan of 5 years or more, brick and mortar. It's not intended, impact fees are not intended to be a slush fund, but rather they are supposed to have a rational nexus whereby the developer pays for his or her impacts generated by that new development and the benefits attributable to that development. On the issue of caps, I'd just like to say, shame on the local governments if they didn't revisit their calculations for their local impact fees. They're supposed to use localized data. We have many local governments that use older data when they're calculating those impact fees. We have situations where local governments, for example, with schools, Broward County recently has seen a huge decrease in the number of students, and yet recently they wanted to raise their school impact fee. And they actually have plenty of capacity. And the issue of affordable housing, it's not just affordable housing as in the definition by statute, by poverty level, so to speak. It's also workforce housing. Where are our nurses going to live, our teachers, our police officers? When impact fees are $28,000 to $40,000 in some communities, that drives those housing costs up and prices those types of essential workers out of the market. We ask that you pass this bill to give us predictability and reliability as we move forward. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Hebrink. Any questions? Finally, we have Robert McKee. Mr. McKee, I know you testified on the amendment. You want to testify on the bill as amended? You're recognized.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. I am Bob McKee with the Ford Association of Counties. I have a lot of history with this issue. I actually represented the Association of Counties when the task force that recommended the statute that's now being amended was put in place. There was a part of that that process and worked and represented the counties when that statute was put in place in 2006. A part of the goal of that statute was to have sort of a signpost so everyone could look at it and know what the right way to do impact fees were. And so we think today, with the definitions of public facilities and infrastructure, that original goal of that signpost to see what the valid things are stays with that original intent. So we want to thank, again, the sponsor for including the important pieces of public safety infrastructure in that definition, and we will look to that statute, should it pass into law, to see those appropriate things to charge for as infrastructure. I also want to echo some of David Cruz's comments on the increases, that in some cases it was as long as 35 years since an impact fee has been increased. And if I look at, I think I made slightly above the $3.35 minimum wage in 1985. So I think it's fair to recognize that to consider that perhaps a fee that has not changed in 35 years might be looked at as a new fee rather than an increased fee compared to 1985. We do still have the concerns I mentioned on the amendment on the underlying bill with respect to the credit language. We look forward to working on that, but we do have to continue to oppose the bill because of the caps, because we, again, have always done this under the dual rational nexus test that has been the basis for impact fees. And we are concerned and are not seeking any authority to do it other than under that dual rational nexus test. And I thank you, and I'll take any questions.
Mr. McKee, any questions for Mr. McKee? Thank you.
Thank you.
Members, that concludes public testimony. We are now in debate on the bill as amended. Debate on the bill as amended. Representative Escamani, you're recognized in debate.
Thank you so much, Chair. And I just want to thank Representative Siegley for working with all those stakeholders. I have no doubt as the bill progresses and gets to the House floor, it will include many of the concerns that I raised, specifically around education. Because I hear brick and mortar, but as we all know, our schools are much more than brick and mortar. And I heard a comment about, let's put it on property taxes. I don't want to see a raise in property taxes either, right? And there was a comment about schools having to operate more fiscally conservative. I don't know about your school districts, but Orange County is trying really hard. And we have huge growth thanks to the development that has occurred, especially in West Orange County, to the point where, like I said earlier, they can't even keep up with the construction of schools to meet the construction of homes. And so it is a delicate balance. And we do have an affordable housing waiver program in Orange County. I would, of course, always want to see those programs strengthened. But I do think there's some really great efforts made in the Orange County building code, for example, the building permitting process, where for any affordable housing project or workforce housing project, they actually assign a full-time person with those developers to help streamline the process and get them in and out a lot faster to save on money. And every local government should be looking at ways to pursue affordable housing projects. The part that really stuck out to me in this conversation was how impact fees were essentially artificially capped, paused, post the 08 recession. And I'm sure that was to the request of developers. And so I'm sure there's some frustration in local governments that for 10, 15 years, impact fees were maintained because developers requested that. And now because the market is booming, city governments see the need to increase impact fees, but also they're just making up for lost time, that now that's making developers mad, which I can totally, again, understand the surprise of seeing these increases. But again, the housing market is doing very well. So you really can't blame local governments for making up for lost time and trying to afford the growing infrastructure costs that happen because of the growth in our communities. And then finally, I am very sensitive to the concerns about slush funds. You know, I totally agree the nexus test has to be the key component in spending impact fee dollars. In my community, that seems like it's working. And so I'm hesitant to jump onto legislation to change things, especially since This will likely require new impact fee studies to be done, which could then delay even further the timeline to get folks, shovel ready. So I look forward to seeing the bill evolve. I know it's a big, heavy conversation. I thank the rep for engaging all the stakeholders. I'll be watching and happy to plug in if necessary, but for now I'll be down the bill. Thanks so much, Chair.
Representative Duggan, you're recognized in debate.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just want to make an observation that has so far not been made in this debate, which is that impact fees are not the only funding mechanism for capital infrastructure in any local government. Every local government is required to have various, in their comprehensive plan, various elements of concurrency analysis for all manner of public infrastructure. So any developer who's going to come in and do a single-family subdivision is going to be... their project locally will be analyzed against the levels of service in the comprehensive plan for concurrency analysis. And they will have to enter into a proportionate share agreement with the local government that will require them to mitigate the impacts of their development. Impact fees are levied over and above the elements of concurrency that are in the comprehensive plan. So any developer who's going to enter into a development agreement with the local government to mitigate their impacts will get credit against those impact fees. But it's not as if impact fees are the only funding mechanism for any of these elements of public infrastructure. He's addressing one small piece of it. This whole discussion has assumed that there's no other funding mechanism. There's capital improvements element funding from the local government. There's property taxes from the school board if we're talking about education. So I just want to remind everybody, this isn't the only pot of money that is available for this process. Thank you.
Members, other members in debate? Representative McLean, you're recognized in debate.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative DeSigley, thank you for bringing this bill forward. I want to talk about the caps just for a minute. I think they're necessary, and one of the reasons for that is most of the time local governments will have their impact fee studies. They'll have them done. Let's just say that the number comes back at $10,000 per unit. A lot of local governments will then only go 10% of that $10,000, so they're collecting $1,000 per unit. Then what happens is if they want to raise the impact fee, whatever they want to raise, so what they say to the community is, well, wait, the impact fee should have been $10,000, so we have the authority just to go ahead and raise this thing to whatever number we want it to be at this point in time, and you're still under the nexus at that point, but the authority's already been given for them to raise that impact fee, so the caps are absolutely necessary, and I appreciate you putting them in the bill.
Members, other debate on the bill as amended? Seeing no other debate, Representative Sigley, you're recognized to close on the bill as amended.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm going to piggyback exactly what Representative Duggan said and Representative McLean. So I'm here for a reason. I ran an impact fee bill last year. We talked about the transferability of impact fee credits. And then about the May timeframe is when Hillsborough County decided to raise their impact fees 80%. And, reading that article really, brought the red flags. The red flags stare me right in the face. And so here we are in the middle of a pandemic. Here we are, local county raising their impact fees 80% because they claim that did not want to increase these impact fees over the last 25, 30 years. To me, that's not good government. So here we are in 2021, this bill was filed. This bill obviously is moving through the process. Orange County increasing their impact fees. Sumter County increasing their impact fees 75%. Hillsborough County, another 80% in 2020, 20% in 22. The city of Tampa is looking to increase their impact fees. Charlotte County, 122% increase in impact fees, all because this bill is moving in the process and they do not care to say that directly up front. So I don't know what that tells you, members, but that certainly tells me that we have a problem. And so this bill lays out a solution to these increase in impact fees. There is an exemption for the good governments who have and meet that rational nexus to increase these impact fees. And then, of course, there is that affordable housing element here that I think is very important to all of us in the legislature. It's very difficult coming out of a pandemic to build homes that are affordable for, quote unquote, the middle class. We'll have different definitions for that, but I think you all get my point. So it is my goal to stabilize the increase of these impact fees. And so I am always, amenable to the stakeholders, bringing them to the table, having these conversations, because it's my goal here to have a really good product moving towards the House floor. So members, I ask for your favorable support. I really appreciate this great discussion today. And with that, Mr. Chairman, I close.
Representative DeSigley having closed on his bill, Rosa, will you please call the roll on CS for HB 337 and announce the vote?
Chair Payne?
Yes.
Vice Chair Zika?
Yes.
Ranking Member Escamani?
No.
Representatives Altman?
Yes.
Caruso?
Yes.
Costello?
Yes.
Clemens?
Yes.
DeSigley?
Yes.
Duggan?
Yes.
Grieco?
Yes.
Hart?
No.
Killebrew?
Yes.
Maggart?
Yes.
McLean?
Yes.
Sabatini?
Yes.
Schoaf?
Yes.
Silvers?
Yes.
Schlossberg? Fifteen yeas, two nays.
Members, by your vote, please show the bill reported favorably. Congratulations, Representative Sigley.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, members.
Members, we are now down to our final bill of the day. Representative Fisher, thank you for your patience, and thank you for making it to our committee, even though our timing was not exactly as we desired. House Bill 623, Taxation of Real Property, and you are recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. House Bill 623 deals with the nature of residential real estate transactions. It's not been the subject of significant innovation for years, and as a result, there are some issues that have developed. Residential homes tend to be the largest investment of a homeowner, and they're generally illiquid. It's hard to get out of them. An owner must sometimes wait a long time to access the value of their home, whether it's the fact that they find their dream job, they receive military transfer orders, they have a sick family member and they need to move quickly. Whatever the case may be, sometimes they need to get out of it and they get stuck with having to manage the home for an extended period because they can't get rid of it. There are companies out there who've created an innovation called instant offers or iBuying, and it allows a home to be purchased very quickly and at a time certain and at a price that the home buyer can agree to, and they can do it really quickly. They don't have to leave it on the market for a really long time. They can give it to this private sector company, this iBuyer or instant offer company. Some of that is already going on in Florida today. The problem is that there's significant transaction costs involved. This bill helps to remove some of the friction that I've discussed by allowing a company to quickly evaluate the home, make a fair offer, a competitive market offer. If the company were to purchase the home, they would have to get rid of the home within 180 days in order to not have to pay the dock stamps twice in the transaction, because really the way it would work out, it's really only a single transaction. The way this bill would work out is it would allow them to do it, to be treated mostly as just a single transaction, and the company would pay the dock stamps on the first transaction that we're discussing. And then as they sell it to the other prospective home buyer, they would pay the difference of the original sale price versus the new sale price. So they would still pay the highest version of a dock stamp that you would pay, but it would only be in a single transaction. Florida's dock stamps is one of the highest in the nation. It exceeds California and New York. This wouldn't necessarily lower the dock stamp rates in Florida, but for this innovation, it would create liquidity in the market, and it would create less friction in those transactions so that families would be able to move. There are three categories here that a company would need to make. I've discussed those 180 days. I discussed the transaction piece, and then they're not able to sell the home for more than 10% of the value. Traditional home flippers tend to flip for a lot more. The traditional home flippers tend to live in the properties. The third condition of this bill would be that there's no occupancy by the company in the home. So the goal would be quickly help the buyer get out of their home, not take occupancy of the home, sell it within 180 days and no more than a 10% markup, and treat the dock stamps as a single transaction. That is the bill.
Representative Fisher, having explained this bill, members of the questions on the bill. Representative Hart, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Rep. Fisher. I have a question. Now, we're talking about
a company, is that what we're speaking of, that could do this?
Yes, ma'am.
You're recognized.
Okay. If I was an individual who had money to spend and I wanted to buy, do the same thing and follow all of your rules as an individual, could I also take advantage of this?
You're recognized.
Well, we have an amendment coming that would help to narrow things down so that it doesn't have a large financial impact to the state revenue.
You good?
My question really is, as an individual, though, could I take advantage of this as opposed to being one of those vendors like Zillow or somebody else if I wanted to buy this house and do the very same thing, these same rules?
You're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. What I would say to that is this is a consumer-friendly bill. This is for the end user. This is to help the folks that need to get out of their properties quickly. This is to help them get out of their properties quickly. And so I would say if you wanted to take advantage of this, you could go on there and sell your home very quickly to one of these companies.
You're recognized.
Sorry. No, I'm not talking about if I wanted to sell my house. If I wanted to buy one of these houses with my own money, as opposed to a company that's doing it, could I, as an individual, do the same things, sell it within 180 days, not make more than 10%, don't go live in it? Can I, as an individual, do that? Because currently, we really can't have to.
You're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The amendment that's coming will limit it to publicly traded companies only. So this is a market innovation. This is us trying something out to see if there's a real demand for it. And if there are others like yourself who are interested in trying it, I'm certainly interested to work with you to help make that the law for everybody. But if this is an innovation that the market responds to, I say we look at it expanding it to everybody.
Okay, we're good. All right. Representative Vice Chair Zika, you're recognized in questions.
Thank you, Chair Payne, and thank you, Representative Fisher, for bringing this bill forward. You're spot on. This is kind of a new trend in the marketplace. Would you please explain one more time the cycle of the transaction? You have the homeowner selling the property. There's an online platform. So if you can just take one more second to explain, then I do have a follow-up after that.
So. Recognized.
So thank you, Mr. Chairman. So if you have a need to sell your home, whether it's, you know, your military family, PCS orders, mother gets sick, you need to get out of there quickly, you could go onto one of these online platforms, click a couple links, say, hey, I need to sell my property, quickly negotiate a time and price to get out of there. They'd send somebody by, take a quick look, and then, you know, within a matter of days, the property is liquid. Then they have 180 days to do whatever repairs, whatever they're going to do to it. And as long as they don't mark it up more than 10% when they go to put it back on the market, because they can't take occupancy, they can't do any of that stuff, they go to put it back on the market. As long as it's sold within 180 days and they haven't taken occupancy and it's not more than 10%, then they only have to pay the dock stamps on the difference of the original sale price versus the new sale price.
Vice Chair, and follow-up.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you, Rep. Fisher, for that explanation. So I read the bill, and just your thoughts on what happens if ABC Company, that's publicly traded, they end up with an inventory of 1,000 homes that were over 180 days. Will they have an opportunity to just pay the dock stamps to the state, or does the bill protect the state from creating other LLCs and the public traded company can do a quit claim deed transfer so we have new ownership so they keep avoiding the tax due to the state?
Rep. Fisher, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And that's what we're looking to do with the amendment, trying to close any of those kind of loopholes to make sure that none of that happens. Because you know, that's the deal. If you want to follow this process and we want to treat it as a single transaction, and it really is when you're not taking occupancy of it, we really should treat it as a single transaction. So
one more left.
I would definitely not be in favor of it being open to the point where you could continue to do this forever. But it's a big capital risk for them to buy something that they don't think they can sell within that time period.
Vice Chair, follow up.
Thank you, Chair. It's my last question. Thank you, Rep. Fisher, for the explanation. And presently, this publicly traded company, let's say Zillow, they do have the option of selecting certain markets in Florida for them to participate in. Do you believe that under this bill, they would be open to expand their offerings statewide in the 67 counties?
You're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So they opened up in Jacksonville because we have two Navy bases, a Marine Corps base, an Army, civilian Army headquarters there, and there's a lot of mobility needs, right? And so I think this would help them expand it everywhere because that's kind of the first areas that you go. But this, I think, would encourage them to expand everywhere.
Thank you, Chair.
Representative Caruso, you're recognized in debate.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, for a couple questions, if I may. Mr. Chair.
Yeah, you're recognized. Go ahead.
Thank you. Representative, good morning.
Good morning.
We're talking about dock stamps here. Don't these dock stamps, a portion of these dock stamps, go towards funding low-income or affordable housing?
You recognize?
They do. If you read the analysis by the REC and by staff, it's not going to have an impact on affordable housing.
Follow up.
So basically, if the average price of a home in Florida is $335,000, then the savings at this point would be for these dock stamps, assuming 7% average dock stamp, is going to be $2,335. And that's money that's not going to go to affordable housing. Is that correct?
You're recognized.
That's not correct.
How so?
If you read the analysis, if you read the REC scoring and everything, the dock stamps are still collected. The money will still go to the Affordable Housing Trust Fund. The difference here is instead of doing two transactions, it's a single transaction.
But it doesn't...
Follow up?
Yes, please.
Yeah, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. But those funds are not collected on the second sale transaction. As with regards to what Representative Hart was speaking, if I was to buy a home and flip it, which is what Zillow is doing, I would have to pay dock stamps on the front end, and my buyer would have to pay dock stamps on the back end when they bought it. So in this case, Zillow's paying dock stamps on the front end, and the buyer's not paying it on the back end. So we are missing out on the back end dock stamps. In certain circumstances, which you've defined. And so, therefore, affordable housing gets the short end of that stick.
You're recognized.
I think the person that gets the short end of the stick of the two transactions is either the home buyer or the home seller. So the individual consumer is the one that's getting shorthanded, not the affordable housing trust fund piece. I think the argument you're making is that I think they estimated about a $200,000 decrease in state revenue to overall dock stamps for the amendment that I've proposed. And so, you know, while you know, that's the case, I think the overall winner here is the consumer, the end user of the homes.
One more. Thank you, Chair. But that estimate is based on the new program that Zillow is instituting and which has not been expanded throughout the entire state of Florida. So would not the impact be greatly increased once this program gets up and running and Zillow becomes a major player in the marketplace throughout the state?
You're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I actually really hope that this does become a market innovation that gets adopted throughout the state because I think it helps our military families. I think it helps our families who are in need, who need to take care of a loved one. I'll share a quick story real quick on that. My father contracted CJD, Creutzfeldt-Jakob disease, a degenerative brain disease, and my wife and I had to quickly sell our home and move back in with my parents to help take care of my father. And it took us a long time to get out of the property that we were in. So, you know, I look at this from a personal standpoint. I think it helps end users. So I hope that answers your question.
Thank you.
Representative Grieco, you're recognized in questions.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And thank you, Rep. Fisher. And I'm gonna vote up today, but I want to ask you a quick question. And I'm sorry it came up during the meeting here. Otherwise, I would have spoken to you about it. I have an appreciation for this being consumer friendly, but would you agree, based upon the specific carve outs for specific companies, that this provides a competitive advantage? You know, we talk about free market all the time. That this provides a competitive advantage to a very limited number of companies, as opposed to other people that would want to take advantage of this tax break.
You're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And that's why my answer to Representative Hart was that if this is a market innovation that really takes off, I really hope to expand it to anybody who wants to take advantage of it in the state of Florida. My goal was to allow for that innovation to start, and really the only way that we could do that is trying to keep the fiscal down on it for now. So allow the innovation to start, see if there's a demand for it, and if there is, let's open it up for everybody.
Did Representative Escamon, do you have a question?
Thank you so much, Chair. I do. I appreciate this conversation. Where does the 10% cap come from, just out of curiosity?
You're recognized.
It was a way to help keep costs down.
Okay. Follow-up, Chair? Thank you so much. If we're concerned, so the REC provided the estimate that you outlined impacting to Representative Caruso's questions, you know, $200,000 this first year for the doc stamp revenue. That's based on the current existence of the program. If the program is potentially going to rapidly grow, is there a concern that the revenue to Affordable Housing Trust funds becomes even larger over time?
You're recognized.
I don't think so. I mean, I intend to be here in the legislature for a lot longer, and I'm sure you intend to be here for a while too. So it's something we can work on to make sure that affordable housing is not negatively impacted. In fact, one of the reasons that it's got a 10% cap in there is to keep from the flipping that you and I talked about yesterday on the phone.
Right. One more follow-up, Chair.
Follow-up.
Thank you so much. I know you and I also talked about on the phone just the processing fees that the actual companies charge. I'm curious if there's any insight, and maybe someone here can answer that question later, but how much is Zillow, for example, making through the transaction of rapidly reselling these homes as well? I'm curious that cost passed down to the consumer for the company.
You're recognized.
I don't have a cost breakdown for any particular company.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, members of the questions? Okay, let's move on to Amendment 1 by Representative Fisher, if you'll explain your amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This amendment I brought up in some of the questions that we were talking about limits it to only publicly traded companies as a way of working with staff and the chairman here to try to get down the fiscal, potential fiscal on it. This limits it down to publicly traded companies.
Member's question on the amendment.
Chair, I have a question.
Representative Escamani.
Thank you. So I know you mentioned that the amendment was designed to close a loophole, but isn't the amendment more to narrow the companies that can actually participate in this competitive advantage?
You're recognized.
This is to keep the fiscal from being high. Publicly traded companies receive additional scrutiny from the SEC and other things, so there are some accountability metrics here with that.
One more question, Chair.
Go ahead.
Would you be open to a sunset amendment of this program? I know we talked about its potential expansion if it went well. Would you be open to a sunset to say, if it's not going well, at least it will automatically come to a close if that took place?
You're recognized.
I'm not sure how we would define not going well, but that's something I'm willing to continue to talk to you about. I think that it's a great program to try out. And yeah, if it's not working, it shouldn't stay in statute.
Other questions on the amendment? Members, okay, let's move to public testimony on the amendment. No public testimony. Debate on the amendment. No debate. Representative Fisher recognized to close on your
Wave
amendment.
Close.
Wave close. Without objection, so the amendment is adopted favorably. We're back to public testimony on the bill as amended. No public testimony. Debate on the bill as amended. Representative Escamani.
Sure. Thanks so much, Chair. And I had a really great conversation with Representative Fisher about this last night, and we went back and forth a little bit. At this point, I'm going to be down the bill for a few reasons. One is it just hurts my heart whenever we have specific bills that are focused on a specific company. I just don't believe in the competitive advantage dynamic here. And so for me, I have a lot of discomfort with that. And I also am concerned, to echo some of Representative Caruso's questions about the Affordable Housing Trust Funds. We've talked about that trust fund in this committee before. I know it's a small impact right now, but any impact on the Affordable Housing Trust Funds are ones that I have a lot of concern with. And of course, these funds potentially are going to be divided into three different buckets this session. And if that happens, that's going to be even less money towards the Affordable Housing Trust Fund. So cutting into that really important resource is something I really struggle to support. So I look forward to seeing the bill evolve. I think it's just getting started, so we'll see where it goes. And I just want to thank the rep for being so passionate about these disruptors. I think that's awesome. But I still just have a little heartburn with some of the provisions within the bill. Thanks so much, Chair.
Representative Caruso, you recognize in the bill as amended.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm going to be down on this bill, Representative, and I mentioned it to you before. I I think the Sadowski Fund and affordable housing just takes hit after hit after hit, year after year after year, and here's another hit on it. I don't think, and I think that's wrong. I think that we're creating an advantage here to a certain entity or a certain format of business, a platform in this case, that the average person doesn't get. If I buy a home and I flip it, I pay the property, I pay the tax, the dock stamps, as well as my buyer pays the dock stamps, and this company is going to get an advantage over it. And we're talking on an average home, $335,000. We're talking $2,345 of ad valorem dock stamps, and I just think that if they're going to make they can make $33,500 on this home profit and not pay the $2,300. I just think it's wrong. So I will be against it. It just means more profit for this company, and I don't think that's right. So at the risk of people that need affordable housing, I'll be down on the bill.
Members, other debate on the bill as amended? Seeing none, Representative Fisher, you're recognized to close on your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. What I would say is that those of you who are involved in real estate transactions know that according to Florida law, dock stamps don't have to be paid by any individual party. Sometimes they're paid by the seller, sometimes they're paid by the buyer, sometimes they're split. That's a negotiated part of the process. And I think that you know, in the situation that we're looking at today, where we're trying to treat this as a single transaction under certain, you know, conditions, what we're doing is we're passing on any potential savings there onto the end user, whether it's the military family that needs to move, whether it's the one that's had a medical emergency and needs to get out of there, it's somebody who's gotten their dream job and decided that they needed to move quickly. This bill started up as a end user, as a consumer advantaged bill. And I know that some people have taken issue with the fact that there are companies that get involved in this space. I can't change your hearts and minds around that issue. I just say, let's focus on what's in the best interest of individual Floridians, everyday Floridians, end user, like I talked about, the personal story that I shared with you about my father, military families, the person that's got their dream job, somebody that just needs to get out of their house. It is the single largest investment that pretty much anybody has, and to not be able to get access to those dollars when you need it is terrible. And that's the genesis of this bill. And with that in mind, I ask for your support today. Thank you.
Rep. Fisher, having closed on his bill, Rosa, will you please call the roll on House Bill 623 and announce the vote?
Vice Chair Zika?
Yes.
Ranking Member Escamani?
No.
Representatives Altman?
Yes.
Caruso?
No.
Casello?
No.
Clemens?
Yes.
Visigli?
Yes.
Duggan? Grieco?
Yes.
Hart?
No.
Hart? No. Killebrew?
Yes.
Maggart?
Yes.
McLean?
Yes.
Sabatini?
Yes.
Schoaf? Yes. Silvers?
Yes.
Schlossberg? Chair Payne?
Yes.
Twelve yeas, four nays.
Members, by your vote, please show the bill reported favorably. Representative Fisher, Chair Fisher, congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you.
Members, that concludes our meeting for today. Our next meeting is Thursday, April the 8th at 5:30 p.m. Wow. Objection. Representative Hart moves we rise without objection. Show the meeting is adjourned. Thank you.